The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we find ourselves often trapped in the hustle and bustle of life, we might not think that in the grand scheme of things, any of us is anything special. We may also wonder if we could truly have a meaningful impact in our world, a world that seems to always be stacked against us. We might feel powerless and hopeless. What can we do to make a difference? And at the very least, we might try to make the most of the daily grind that we find ourselves in. One could only imagine what these fishermen would have been at the bottom rung of the society of their day, Simon, Andrew, the sons of Zebedee, what they would have thought when they were called by Jesus to follow him. How could they, of all people, make a difference? How could they, of all people, deal with the many injustices inflicted on them by the Romans and Herod? And why would Jesus think that these fishermen of all people could make a difference going against such forces in the world? How are they going to take on these injustices? Now, the beginning of our gospel lesson today mentions, kind of in passing, the arrest of John the Baptist. I don't think it would have been lost on people hearing Mark's gospel for the first time and hearing that John the Baptist was arrested, that following the way of God in this world can come at a cost. Because we know what happened to John the Baptist in the end, right? Or what happened to St. Stephen, the first martyr of the church, or a modern saint that we just celebrated in church and society, Martin Luther King Jr., when answering the invitation and call to discipleship, can certainly come at a cost that might include one's life. But the way of Jesus leads us to the cross. And when Jesus invites us to follow him, that's exactly where we're headed. And it's at the cross that we are reminded constantly that the world will not prevail and that death no longer has dominion on us. So we are truly free to follow when Jesus calls us to discipleship. And the way of Jesus then is going to challenge the status quo. It speaks truth to power. It ushers in a kingdom that's not of this world. And when we repent, we turn to Jesus, and our backs then are turned to the world. When we say yes to Jesus, we're going to say no to many things in the world. And as a result, the world might see us as a threat and an enemy as a result. That might be one of the things that might cause us to hesitate in accepting and responding to such an invitation. Others might think that they just don't have the gifts to fish for people, to take on that task. Others might just be consumed with so much in the world. You've got a good thing going here, right?
I'm too busy. I'm too distracted. I have so much. I'm not ready. I don't want to fully follow this. But as theologian Karl Barth noted, the disciples are elected to discipleship simply through the fact that Jesus claims them. When Jesus declares that now they shall be fishers of people, their new status is anchored in the fact that Jesus has fished for them. Jesus is the ultimate fisher, and they are the netted fish. And in the obedient response of these two sets of brothers, they see God's presence, his love, his mercy, actually realized in the world. They're experiencing it. I suppose the image of fishing for people could be demeaning to those seen as needing to be caught. Our tactics in churches might also be insulting not just the people we're trying to reach, but also to the kingdom and the gospel itself. How many churches seek to lure people in, offer a bait and switch, essentially tricking people into coming to church? Aren't we simply to love as God loves us? Don't we love because God first loves us? As we hear in 1 John chapter 4:19. The kingdom of God that Jesus proclaims is not contingent upon us building large buildings or institutions or great cities. God's kingdom exists when we receive God's rule in our hearts through repentance in faith, turning to Jesus and trusting Jesus. For repentance is a reorientation of our lives to the way of Jesus. Again, that's a threat to the empire. And it's a resistance that is seen throughout Jesus' mission and ministry throughout Mark's gospel. It is a resistance that would eventually get him crucified. And I keep reminding you lately that his identity is recognized on the cross in Mark 15:39 by that centurion soldier. It is on the cross that we see truly this is God's Son. An important takeaway for us from our gospel lesson today is that this call is an invitation to a whole new way of life. Discipleship is a whole new way of life. It's not a task, it's a way of life. Jesus doesn't say, follow me and I will make you become fishers of people. He says, I will make you fish. It's a whole new way of life opposed to simply another task that each of us crosses off our calendars and our to-do lists. And it should call us as Lutheran Christians in particular how we should feel convicted here a little bit, because it's very sad that for a tradition that is known for promoting the concept of the priesthood of all believers, how we've failed in affirming how people live out their priesthood through the various vocations God has called them to. It's not just pastors that answer a call and do the work in proclaiming and building the kingdom. The work of discipleship is for all of us. Even in the ordination rite in our denomination, it says, kind of as like a preface, because all of its baptized members share in Christ's ministry of love and service, the church equips and supports them for ministries in the world. Within this context of ministry, the church calls some of its baptized members for specific ministries. Within the people of God and for the sake of the gospel, ministry entrusted to all believers, God has instituted the office of ministry of word and sacrament. All the baptized share in Christ's ministry of love and service. Now, some are called to the ministry of word and sacrament. Others are called to the ministry of word and service. But all of us are called to share the love of Jesus, to proclaim the good news, to build the kingdom in all the vocations that God has called you to carry out in the world. We fail in making people feel that they're only serving God also if they're doing it in a church-sponsored program or event. That's a failure for us as an institution and a ministry. Because Jesus' call to discipleship is a calling to use all your gifts in your household, at work, at school, and play, in all facets of your life, that people would know the love of God through you. Earlier this week, I was having a conversation with Daniel Bradshaw about this very thing, about the priesthood of all believers and our vocations and how we live this out. He shared with me this story. That in 1962, President John F. Kennedy visited NASA for the first time. And during his tour of the facility, he met a janitor who was carrying a broom down the hallway. The president casually asked the janitor what he did for NASA, and the janitor replied, "I'm helping put a man on the moon." Right? That's the priesthood of all believers. That's the body of Christ with many different members sharing different gifts. That's us all hearing this invitation and accepting the call, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." It can sound intimidating. There might be some of you thinking that you've never done that, that you never could do that. But all of you have, and all of you will continue to do it. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to reveal to you ways in which you can see how God is calling you to do that in the world. There's also no work or gift that you share in the life of the church or in the world that is too small. In the church, we need people to hand out bulletins, to sing hymns, to read lessons, to serve in leadership positions, to help with our community meal, to make quilts, to attend a funeral, to take part in the funeral meal. I can go on and on, but those things in the life of the church is a way in which we follow Jesus' invitation and call to fish for people, that all would know that they could be caught up in God's net of grace. But I want to stress that what we do collectively as church is not the only way we're to answer the call to be disciples of Jesus Christ. As I said, it's also at work, at school, in our play, in our relationships, in all those vocations we're called to. When we console our neighbor and show love to a stranger, when we do that apart from officially church-sanctioned programming, you're doing this in answering that call and invitation to follow Jesus, to fish for people that transforms all our lives when we proclaim the kingdom that is here and that is to come. Beloved children of God, let us not fear the risk of discipleship, for not even death has dominion over us. Let us not feel defeated that the world is stacked against our efforts, for the love and light we know will prevail, because our efforts point to the victory that we have on the cross. And it is our way forward, because we know we continue to move forward in God's eternal love. Let us not think that we're ever ill-equipped or not worthy of being a disciple who fishes for people, because Jesus called these fishermen at the bottom rung of society, showing us that anybody is welcomed and qualified to carry on this task. For Christ is always with you. God has equipped you to embark in such a mission in which our lives have been transformed by Jesus, because we've experienced grace, mercy, and love. And our lives and our mission and our prayer is that others would be caught up and claimed by this love, by this same grace, that people living and wandering and lost in a dark and broken world would be caught up in God's firm, loving, eternal embrace. So, beloved children of God, let us follow Jesus to the cross and receive and share this love that has no end. Thanks be to God. Amen.